In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Jennifer Strong at the news desk in New York. Lots of economic data on tap for this week. We'll take a look at which reports economists will be watching. But first, new White House Chief of Staff John Kelly is moving quickly to bring order and discipline to the West Wing. Kelly's new rules include to stop bickering, get to work early, and make an appointment with the president. The question now is whether or how long it will last. A federal jury found Martin Shkreli guilty of three counts related to securities fraud. This comes after a five-week trial laid bare the former pharmaceutical executive's business practices. Shkreli became infamous in 2015 when he bought the rights to a drug used to treat AIDS patients and raised the price to $750 a pill from $13. Still ahead, a look at what to watch this week with the economy. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Consumer prices, productivity, and trade. We take a look at what economists will be watching for this week. The Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrun is in our newsroom in Washington. Josh, let's kick things off with the Consumer Price Index on Friday.
Well, thanks so much for having me. The CPI this week is probably going to be the biggest piece of economic data that we're going to get out of the United States. It's going to be the latest update on inflation in the U.S. And it's actually a particularly important one because this is one of the reports that determines people's cost of living adjustment they get in their Social Security payments. So if you're a Social Security recipient, this is going to be one of the important ones to watch. It's going to determine your COLA.
Backing up a bit, on Wednesday, the Labor Department gives a second quarter report on productivity. What will folks be looking to see there?
One of the big mysteries about the U.S. economy that we've kind of written about a lot is, why has productivity in the U.S. been so low? Productivity growth in the U.S. has been really weak. The amount of stuff that, you know, productivity is measured as the amount of economic output per worker. And the amount of stuff that people produce, if you think about a factory, it means that, you know, the factory is producing about the same amount of stuff as it used to with the same number of workers. Or, you know, you kind of think across any industry, the store sales are the same with the same number of workers. That's kind of the idea there. And it's kind of a puzzle why it's been so low. It's been lower than previous times in U.S. history. And, you know, it's such an important report to watch because in order for President Trump to achieve the goals that he set out about having really high economic growth, you know, in order for that to happen, you really need to get more economic output from kind of all the workers in the U.S. economy. You're not going to get it through population growth. The U.S. population just isn't going to grow that quickly over the next few years. It has to come from productivity. And so everyone is kind of watching the productivity numbers to see whether or not, you know, are any of the changes that we've seen in Washington significant enough that we're going to see people really able to produce more at their jobs? It's a big open question. And so it's one of the things that people are going to be watching really closely in this report to see whether or not weak productivity figures that we've had over the past, really ever since the recession last decade, you know, whether or not we're going to see that productivity start to pick back up.
We're speaking with Josh Zumbrun about what to watch this week with the economy, and you're listening to What's News from the Wall Street Journal.
We know you well, you who became a multimillionaire at 43 and you who was born one. We know you, who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune. And you, no longer getting a paycheck, but not needing one either. And also you, who doesn't have to work, but can't help not to. You serial entrepreneur, you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well. And that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Josh, also this week, you say renewed tension between Washington and Beijing on trade imbalances will keep China's trade data in focus.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I always remind people when I talk about China is that it is the second largest economy in the world now by quite a bit. You know, by almost any measure, it's not nearly as big as the U.S., But, you know, it's gotten so that it's quite a bit bigger than Japan. I mean, within a few years, China's economy will probably be twice as big as Japan's. And Japan is kind of the number three country. And so it kind of shows how important these economic figures about what's happening in China are going to become. You know, it's going to increasingly be something that matters to us in the U.S. and that matters to people around the world. And right now, China's trade figures have been, they've actually been a little bit slower. They're expected this month to be a little bit slower than they were in June, but they're expected to be really robust. I mean, they're expecting exports to grow by a little over 10%, imports to grow by a little over 16%. And, you know, if China's trade figures are able to grow that quickly, it suggests that there's kind of a lot of momentum in the global economy. And, you know, you kind of would hope there's a situation where everyone around the world is kind of growing together, that it can be a good thing. And the reason people are kind of worried about it or watching it so closely are because of the kind of conversations that we've heard out of Washington about whether or not we need to really kind of crack down on China, and questions about whether or not China is growing at the expense of everybody else. You know, there's kind of two different visions of the world, one in which it's a zero-sum game and China's growth means that the U.S. is not doing as well, or is it a game where, you know, everybody can win because trade expands all around the world and, you know, everybody gets more pieces of a bigger pie. So that's why people are watching it so closely, because there's kind of conflicting visions about that and signs that Washington would like to kind of crimp what's happening in China a little bit. And so it's going to continue to be an important story for us to follow here.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrun joining us from Washington. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, bankrupt fashion labels are finding there is life after liquidation, but only if resurrection happens quickly. Investors snapped up Wet Seal, American Apparel, and The Limited, betting consumers who long ago stopped visiting their stores would flock to the new online-only storefronts. And that's What's News. I'm Jennifer Strong at The Wall Street Journal.
For more insights, enable The Wall Street Journal skill on any device with Amazon Alexa. Get all of our podcasts, as well as the latest news and market updates. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.